This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car review here on BFM. Interesting car review coming up later on in the show. It's the first time I think we've done a second-hand vehicle.
Second time?
Yes.
Is it the second time?
Second time, yes.
What? Oh, what was the first one?
I can't remember.
You can't? Uh-huh. They say okay. With age comes wisdom.
Yes.
Anyway, of course, that's all coming up after our news. First and foremost, as usual, in the studio with me is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Richard, and looking forward to that Christmas dinner with you at your house.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse over there.
Hello, everybody.
So, as I said, we have a car review coming up towards the end of the show. It is a used 2009 BMW 325i. Now, who on earth would buy one of those?
People with lots of money.
Right. Oh, or little sense. It is, of course, the wonderful Mr. Arif Ruse. He is, of course, the man with the news. Take it away, Arif.
The first story we're going to talk about, I think it circulated quite a lot. It's that Toyota is partnering Grab in something. And this comes after Toyota invested about $1 billion in Grab for their data in earlier this year in June.
Wait, Grab is buying Toyota's data or Toyota is buying Grab's data?
Toyota is buying Grab's data.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess it goes along the lines of Toyota wanting to rebrand themselves as not an automobile manufacturer, but as a mobility company. So right now, instead of introducing and acquiring ride-sharing companies, they're partnering with Grab to better serve these ride-sharing companies, to provide better fleet management and reduce expenses for Grab, which they say will benefit us consumers and users mm-hmm. in cheaper fares.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how that's going mm-hmm. over here in Malaysia. So what they're going to do is Grab is going to collect drive data for Toyota. They're going to install telemetric devices in 1,500 Grab rental cars in Singapore. And yes, Grab rental, you could actually rent a Grab car.
In Singapore.
In Singapore.
Yeah.
And use it to earn yourself some money, mm-hmm. which is quite interesting, actually. What Toyota gets from this, though, is valuable information on how people move around. And what Grab gets from this is more efficient car maintenance, cheaper insurance rates for drivers, and better support for the drivers, which I think, you know, it could work, but I'm kind of skeptical about this sort of partnership happening.
What are you skeptical about?
I don't know. I feel like, is the data they're going to get mm-hmm. going to be that valuable? Because
where are they doing this? So far,
it's just in Singapore.
It's just in Singapore.
Yeah, just in Singapore.
I suppose they'd get data on things like how many passengers are in the car, the routes that they would take, the amount of times that they stopped, how many passengers per day, all stuff that could be used to kind of streamline the algorithms that Grab uses. So for Grab, I'd see it being a fairly good partnership. You know, they get streamlined data given to them by Toyota, and they also get reduced prices on the vehicles and maintenance. I see what's good in it. On Toyota's side, I'm not so sure. Daniel, yeah. You might be able to shed some light on that.
I'm a little bit skeptical about this data collection thing. You know, when they talk about data collection, sometimes the drivers, you know, they might not be driving full time. They mm-hmm. might say they're driving full time, but they might actually be doing some other kind of work.
Right.
Also, from what I understand, after meeting a few Grab drivers myself, when I've sat with them, a lot of them spend maybe 12 to 15 hours a day in the car. They, you know, have so many regular clients, after a while, they don't use the app for the regular clients. Reason being, say, for example, now, if I'm going to the airport, if I use Grab, say I pay a fee of 65 ringgit, for example, the driver has to give some commission back to Grab, right? But if the driver happens to be comfortable with me, he says, listen, every time you go to the airport, boss, you just call me.
Right.
We don't have to use the app.
Yeah.
And, you know, I give him the full 65 still. So I'm not saving anything, but he's gaining a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit sorry because after he drops me off, he has to wait 2-3 hours for the next passenger.
Yeah.
It's an average of 2-3 hours. So, you know, at least he gets a little bit extra for him to wait or decide to come back so he covers his toll. So I'm thinking more that one of the things is to find out who is actually working full-time taking Grab app passengers and who is trying to skive and make some side deals with passengers.
Yeah, that's true.
That's another way of looking at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two, driver behavior. You're already going to track how fast they're going, where they're loitering, who they're seeing roughly, you know, places where they go and all that. Some of these drivers may be doing some other kind of things which we don't want to say bad or good, but maybe they want to be left alone. I mean, they're working 12, 15 hours a day,
yeah,
and they're not earning that much money. So they'll probably need to make some extra money somewhere. You know, I'm not saying by taking passengers, but they could even be food couriers. Yeah. They could even be doing, you know, tourist work. You know, you don't know what they're doing. Because I met a guy who actually takes people, picks them up from the airport, takes them straight to, say, Ipoh, do the tour of Ipoh for the makan-makan Ipoh thing, put them up in a hotel, then he comes back. And then he leaves them in Ipoh for 2-3 days, let them look around, and then he goes and picks them up. Now, he doesn't go through the app to do this. So all this, I think, is infringing on the personal data of drivers who are just trying to make a little bit more money for themselves.
All right. It's something we can leave out there for other people to discuss as well. Before we get ourselves in too much trouble. But, you're right. I mean, there's some good points there. The thing is, when you sign up to be a Grab driver, you're not a full-time driver. So that amount of freelancing, you are allowed to do stuff on the side.
Of course, of course.
You know, so they can't really use that data against you if you were a driver, I suspect.
They could reduce your bonus.
They could do that as well. But don't you have to have a regular of 5 stars before they start limiting the amount of bonus that you get? That's why when you get out, 5 stars, what's 5 stars?
Yes.
You had the window open the entire time, you're listening to the radio and talking to your friend, you're getting 3 and you're lucky.
I've had good drivers.
I've had majority of being good
probably
drivers.
Because you're a foreigner.
A lot of pain in that one, man.
I know. Truth. With truth, there is pain. All right, so we move on then. We have there's a new CEO in town.
Yep. Oh, yes. For Perodua. They got a new CEO, Dr. Aminar, after 9 years at Perodua, and I think arguably transformed Perodua's brand image, I think.
Right. And before that, he was in Toyota.
Was he?
Yeah, I knew him in Toyota years ago. So, you know, he just walked in there, did the Toyota thing, made it great. And then now Dr. Zainal has come on board. He's been in Perodua for a long time also.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's doing. And then he's just going to soldier along and make it even better.
The interesting thing is that I was reading a lot of news articles about this. And there was a lot mentioned about Perodua wanting to become a regional player.
They've wanted to do that for a long time. But it's difficult when you're partnering Daihatsu and Toyota. And they have presence in a lot of the countries around us.
Especially Indonesia. So, I mean,
exactly.
Would they go to the extent of like producing Perodua cars with Daihatsu badges on them?
They could. But for example now, the new Toyota Rush
yeah.
is built, put together at the Perodua plant.
Huh.
So when you go to Toyota to buy a Rush, it's been rushed over from the Rawang Perodua plant. So they're not losing out on anything. If they can produce vehicles for Toyota here, who knows? Because the Toyota capacity is so high.
Yeah.
If they can farm it out to Perodua, they can even farm out, you know, other vehicles to Perodua, which is not a problem.
So it's a good thing then?
Of course it's a good thing.
I'm just asking.
It's money that stays in the country, gives employment.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the vendors also enjoy a little bit more benefits of this.
It's everything that the Prime Minister wants.
There we go.
Exactly.
Okay, let's speak about cars of the year. Let's just have a bit of fun with this.
Yes.
I'm going to sit back, clearly, because I know too much about this. I mean, I know far too many things.
Wait.
So it's probably better that I just throw this out to you then.
Yeah.
So, World Car of the Year 2018 list. Dun, 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 dun. What have we got on there?
In the world,
the greatest
car in the world, according to this list, is the Volvo XC60.
Mm.
Agreed?
I think strong contender, yes.
So that's a
very
no
Very strong,
then.
Yes.
That's a no then.
No, I'm not saying no.
Your voice
very strong contender. Very strong contender. But you see, there are a lot of good cars out there. Of course, Volvo is leading the pack.
Yeah.
But this is not the final list.
Oh. It's not,
is it? Is it the final list?
It is.
It is the final list.
They've opened 2019's one already.
Oh. Yeah. So Volvo has won this.
Volvo has won this.
Oh, I didn't know this.
See, your voice is going up again.
Yes.
Next, in the luxury segment, the Audi A8 won it. We haven't gotten sight of it yet.
Audis, they never skimp on luxury.
Mm.
But, you know, again, we don't have an Audi A8 in Malaysia, so I wouldn't know.
I've seen an R8 once or twice.
Yeah, that's a sports car. Yeah. This is a full-size sedan. And, you know, without actually touching and feeling the car. A bit difficult.
We don't know. Exactly. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Move on then.
Performance, of course, the BMW M5, the king of the streets.
Can't say no. Yeah.
Swiftly moving along then before Arif starts gushing in the studio.
Yes.
For the green car category, the winner is the Nissan Leaf.
For sure.
Totally agree too. for the urban category is the new Volkswagen Polo that we might see in a couple of months. Oh, that's what's that?
Well, you know, Polo, cute little cars, but
okay. One pulled up in front of the offices here the other day.
Yeah, that's the old one.
I'm like, couldn't spot the difference between that and a Golf.
Because it's grown a little.
Right, it's grown a bit.
But this one is even much nicer. But, you know.
Okay, okay.
World design.
Yeah. And the World Car of the Year 2018 design.
Range Rover Velar.
This one, for sure.
With the handles. For sure.
With the handles. Yeah.
I saw one, you know, parked outside Monk's Village the other day.
Right.
And I walked past, and I'm like, oh, those are the handles.
Exactly.
And I stood waiting around, and I'm like, somebody please come out. And just, you know, nobody was doing it.
Nobody
was doing it. The jockeys were sat there.
And you were trying to figure out, how do they grab it?
And I'm like, how's he going to do this?
Yes.
Five minutes. I walked around the block, came back 5 minutes later. No. We know what the world has spoken and said, you know, the top 2018 list. What about, very quickly, because we're running out of time. Well, okay. We've got a few minutes.
Okay.
Give us, you know, the best cars you've driven this year. Let's put them into five categories. Economy cars, premium saloon, MPV, SUV, trucks.
Okay.
Economy cars first.
Ready to go. Perdua MyV.
Oh. Totally agree.
Yes.
Totally agree.
Economy.
Easy as that.
Size.
Easy as that.
Features.
Yeah.
Safety.
Okay.
All the bang for your buck.
Premium saloon.
Premium saloon, I will have to go with, I know this sounds a bit strange, but the Mercedes E43 AMG.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, oh. I know the AMG is expensive, but I got to go
He's
with
He's doing
the...
that a lot tonight.
Yes.
All right, MPV.
MPV. MPV.
Couldn't we slide the MyV in there?
No. Now, with MPV, many will disagree, but I have to say the Nissan Serena. Because it ticks all the right boxes, and it doesn't cost a lot of money yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's got everything a family needs inside.
SUV.
Oh, SUV. SUV, premium or non-premium?
Non-premium.
Non-premium, I'll say Subaru XV.
Oh. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, 120,000, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
All-wheel drive.
Final.
Truck.
Truck.
My favorite trucks, because I've never owned one. But I drive them all. Raptor.
Ranger Raptor.
Ford Ranger Raptor. There is no competition. Really?
When last week we were talking about the Hilux last week,
the Hilux
you
was
saying,
great.
You know, the Hilux is
I
great.
I took the Hilux into the jungles of Kuala Lumpur.
You took it to SS15 and drove it on a grass bank.
That pictures were serious jungle negotiations.
All right, we're going to move on very quickly. New car launches, what do we get?
So in Singapore, they launched the new Kia Stonic.
That's a funky looking
SUV. Yeah, it's a compact crossover.
Yes.
And it's...
I'm going to have a look at this. You keep talking amongst yourselves. Yes. I'm looking.
I think...
Just go to DSF. You'll see. The thing is, you know, the Stonic competes directly with the Honda HR-V.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the new HR-V RS coming up, this Stonic has got a lot of features and a lot of cool colors, you know, the color combinations that should, you know, make it fly off.
It's all primary colors from what I can see.
Yes.
It kind of looks like...
It's got some two-tone.
It looks like a Tonka toy.
Exactly.
It looks like it's going to be, you can throw it around, you can beat it, you can drop it off a desk, and it's going to keep driving.
It's like the XC40 Volvo, like a Tonka toy.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Next, I think the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the prices is out, right?
188 from 188. Have you seen it in person?
No. Well, yes, I have, Eklund.
Okay. If you see it in person, if you see it in a showroom, it's a nice size, it's feature filled and all that. But if you take a closer look, the slim tail lamps, the sort of, you know, C-shaped rear end, and then you start thinking, take away those badges, and this looks exactly like something that came out of Germany.
Yep, totally agree. Next, we've got car from America, a Lincoln Continental 80th anniversary version. Right. I bring this up because...
It has suicide doors.
It has suicide doors. It's the, you know,
it's
Ford
great.
Ford killed off all of their sedans in America.
Yes, and this is a product of Ford.
Yeah, and I think they're sending it off the right way with suicide doors.
Yes.
Next. Does it only come in one color? Because it looks
black.
Like it does. It's kind of this powder blue.
Yes.
I think it's a nice color.
I mean, it's a nice color if you're a grandfather and you like driving a grandfather. Well, I mean, it's nice looking, but...
Yeah, if you buy a car called Lincoln, you have to be a grandfather.
Right. Well, that's true.
No young rapper is going to buy a Lincoln.
Yeah, that's true. Although he might do it because it's got those doors.
Exactly.
All right.
Next, we've got the Volkswagen ID hatchback. I think it was revealed sometime last week.
Yes.
It's basically... an electric Volkswagen Golf.
Right.
Volkswagen says it has about 550 kilometers of electric range. and will be sold in 2020 or something like that.
They're going in the right direction. Get rid of those DSGs, get rid of those diesel engines, get rid of Dieselgate. Let's talk about Electricgate.
And
I like the way it looks, though. I've got it.
They say they're going to sell this car at the price of a base Volkswagen Golf in Europe.
That's the way to go.
I want one.
Yeah. Only problem if I'm worried if Electricgate comes along.
Moving swiftly along, come on. We've got one more to go, and we're running out of time.
We've got this Chinese brand called NIO.
Yes.
They released the new car called ES6, 400 kilometers basic EV range. It's an SUV from China.
Yep.
And earlier this year, it was touted as a genuine Tesla competitor. So I think it looks like one, at least.
It looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
All the angles, I'm sure you guys are looking at it right now.
Yeah. Yep.
The front, the headlamps, they look just like the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah.
The nose, like the Hyundai Santa Fe. The rear end looks like a BMW X3.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yes.
What are you trying to say, Daniel?
I'm trying to say this company has done a very good job in merging two good-looking vehicles into one very good-looking vehicle.
Right, that's all the time we have for part one of the show. You have been listening to Cruise Control, of course. We're still going to move on to our car review coming up in a couple of minutes. It is the used 2009 BMW 325i. That's all coming up after these messages. You're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. FM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and
Arif Roos,
the man with the news. So, car review. Normally, we'd find something nice, swanky, new, something that we all like or can be kind of controversial. You know, Daniel was talking about him driving off-road last week, and we all know it's not true.
It's not.
Jealous because I went off-road and I came back.
Yeah, that's true. However, this week, we've got something a little bit more interesting. A used 2009 BMW 325i E90. Why on earth are we reviewing this car?
Let me start.
Go on.
I know it's his favorite, but let me start.
Go on.
This is a super popular European used car buy for the millennials.
Oh, for the millennials.
It is.
Because you know why? They don't have enough money to buy a new one.
Oh!
But as a used car buy, it's bang for your buck.
Uh-huh.
It's still good looking.
Uh-huh.
And it gets the other party excited.
I see. So if you haven't guessed by now, this is, of course, Arif's car.
Arif, you just bought it.
When did you buy this?
I got it about 2 months ago.
All right, okay. We'll hand it over to you then. This is your story, your baby. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I just want to tell you guys about what I went through when choosing this car and what you should probably think about when choosing your next car.
Go on,
and,
okay.
And at the end, I want to ask you guys whether I got a good deal or not.
Okay.
First off, I think I'm going to kick it off about why I sold my old car. It was a 1981 BMW 7 Series. I should have never gotten that car, but it happened upon me. Mm-hmm. And I sold it because part searching was just taking too much of my time, maintenance, running costs, and a lot of limitations like having to go to the fuel pump and pumping 170 ringgit into your fuel tank.
Because it's a big engine.
Yes. You know, it's an old car. I didn't feel right driving it daily. I just felt like I was just ruining it. But 5 months ago, I was in the market looking for a car, and I felt that, you know, when you look for a car, you need to have a lot of introspection. You need to ask yourself a lot of questions. What do I really need? What do I really want? What can I afford? And what am I prepared to deal with? And of course, it needs to fit my criteria, which was it needs to be fast. It needs to be entertaining, as is with BMWs. It needs to be a car or a brand that I know how to work with, that I know its problems inside out and what they're known for, and it has to be a value for money. And as Daniel Fernandez said, this car is extremely value for money.
What you paid for it is.
Yes.
So how much did you pay for it?
So I started off with a budget of 60,000 ringgit. I got the car for 63. Honestly, that's the best deal I've ever struck.
How old is the car?
9 years old, 2009.
So 9-year-old car, when it was new, it was almost 300,000 ringgit.
Yes.
So this is a fifth of its value.
Mm-hmm.
Bang for your buck.
Mm. And but is it?
Well, depends how the previous owner treated it.
Right.
So he knows.
So around about 60,000 ringgit, you're looking at new cars. You get the Proton Iris, yes. Produa, Myvi, of Kia Picanto. If you look at the used cars, there's a whole bunch of them, but none as, I think,
emotional.
As this one. I mean, you could always get an old Mercedes W124 and spend a whole bunch of money fixing it as well. But I kind of wanted something more modern, something that I could take to Penang in a day and back.
And not worry about it breaking down.
Yeah, and not worry about it breaking down. So I narrowed it down to 2-3 options. So a BMW 3 Series, which I ended up buying, and a 5 Series of about the same age, the E60, mm-hmm. and a Mazda 3, just as the outsider choice.
Right.
When I was looking for this car, I spent a whole month looking for the right one. I didn't think I would be able to afford this car.
Correct.
Because the market value for this car, I think right now, is about 75 to 80. Mm-hmm. But I got this car at 63.
Where did you find it?
On Muda.my.
On Muda?
Yeah, I mean, I spent literally every night just scrolling through Muda looking for the right one.
So you don't have a girlfriend?
Damn, is that visible, isn't it?
Christmas is coming soon. You never know what might be under that tree.
I just put two and two together.
But yeah, I mean, you know, like...
You've not answered the question. Anyway, move on.
No, I don't. But, but you know, like I said, I asked myself, what do I really need? I needed a car that can go far. I needed it to be fast. And what do I really want? A car that's entertaining. What can I afford? Something about 60K. And what am I prepared to deal with? I mean, after running an old 7 Series for about 3 years, running costs really isn't an issue to me right now. So I started off looking for an E60 530i, high horsepower, 276 horsepower, and I could never find the right specs. And I was looking for like all original stuff. I mean, E60s and E90 5 and 3 series are absolutely known for people sticking rubbish wheels and putting stickers on and tuning it up and basically ruining the car. So finding an all original one was extremely difficult. So in the end, I looked at the E90 and I was questioning myself, should I get the diesel, the 320D, or the straight six 325i? The diesel obviously gives you, better bang for buck. You can go like, I think like 700-800 kilometers
easy,
on a single tank.
The injectors are running well, easy. No
yeah,
problem.
And it's just as fast as a 325i.
But you're lucky you didn't buy the diesel now, you know, even though it's powerful and everything else.
Why is that?
Because with B10 diesel coming into the market, a lot of people are complaining that, you know, in case they're outstation and they can't get regular diesel, they might be forced to use B10 diesel. It's not that B10 diesel is bad, but it's not...
equipped.
It's not ready for these high-precision diesel engines from BMW. And BMW have... You notice they've stopped selling the diesel cars in Malaysia because of this. It's not because the diesel cars are bad. It's because the fuel is not really compatible to B10. Anyway, continue. Yes.
I mean, I was seriously considering the diesel because torque, just huge amounts of torque. Yes. You can put your foot down and you can overtake anything in most things in your way, most of KL traffic in your way.
Correct.
But I really wanted a straight six. I grew up with a straight six all the time. And that sound, you know, you can't ignore it. When looking at these cars... you do have to know exactly what you want, in a sense that you can't just go out there and buy a 3 Series. You have to look at what were the problems. For example, the pre-facelift models were selling extremely cheap. I think they were going for about between 35 to about 55.
Correct.
But a lot of those, the 320i had a lot of four-cylinder oil issues, head gasket issues and all that stuff. A lot of the 325i's were absolutely modded to hell.
Right.
And they all had high mileage, running around 150 to 160,000 kilometers. So I put that aside and I didn't think about it. So I decided to look for the facelift cars. The facelift cars obviously look more modern and I would say arguably more modern than...
More aggressive looking also.
It more aggressive. Definitely looks aggressive.
I saw a few facelift cars for the budget and I decided to go around town looking for it. And I went to see about 3 or 4 cars. Unfortunately, with these dealers, used car dealers, they don't really advertise stuff that well.
No, it's not that they don't advertise very well. They don't tell the complete truth.
I went to see one, my top candidate. It had an accident. I went to see another one. They advertise, oh, this car has about 70,000 kilometers. So I drove all the way to Klang to look at it. And I saw it had 180,000 kilometers. And I was like, what the hell?
Wow.
Yeah. Then I went to see another car somewhere around here in PJ, and that car had a respray. No service records. I can't trust it. And then there was one that I had to call you up and ask you to confirm this, because another top candidate for this car, he wanted an extra 4,000 ringgit for his commission to register the car for me, and I thought it was dodgy.
Of course it's dodgy.
And I confirmed with you, it's extremely dodgy, yes. Right? Who, I mean, it's just registration and getting the insurance done. This, I don't think it's worth 4,000 ringgit.
How much should you pay? Just out of interest.
Probably about 1.5-2 grand max.
Well, insurance is depending on the value of the car. But, you know, these runner fees can go from 2,000 to 3,000 ringgit. And a lot of them actually catch people off guard because they make it sound so difficult to go and do this car transfer.
Oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that.
Yeah. Actually, it's so easy. You go early
I'll
in the morning.
I'll make it easy for you. Just give me 4K.
Yeah. 7:45 in the morning, you're at Pushpa.com. You bring the car in, you queue up. There are two different lines for private, which is when you go yourself, or for dealers. So, you know, you go in there, normally there's so few people on private. So by 8:30, your car is inspected. Mm. They check everything. They give you your cert. You pay your, I think it's 10 ringgit or 20 ringgit.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then straight away, you go, next door is JPJ. You go to JPJ. Again, there's two lines. One for private, one for used car dealers. And you go to the private one, they're so polite. They're so nice. I think within 2 hours, max, the car is in your name. It's done.
Mm. Yep.
And JPJ doesn't charge you a bomb.
You know, I went to see all these cars, got extremely disappointed that I couldn't find the right one. And I wasn't really going to let go of this dream of owning a BMW.
Yeah.
Right. So I almost gave up. After a month of searching, I almost gave up. And suddenly, you know, on Muda, I was just scrolling through and I found this private seller selling this particular car. He advertised it decently, but the mileage was kind of dodgy because he advertised it as having 39,500 kilometers. On the clock after 9 years, which is absolutely insane.
Right.
Did you even drive the car? Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought it was quite a risk, but I took it for a test drive. Nothing bad really caught my eye. The body looks solid and all that stuff. But still, you know, 63,000 ringgit, that's 15 to 20 grand under the market value.
That's not under the market value. Sorry to interrupt, but that is what dealers make on a car like this. They probably buy it for 60 and then they mark up.
Yeah. And at 63K, at this low mileage, what's wrong with this car?
Okay, what's wrong with it?
Yeah, how broken is it,
so
right?
So was there something wrong with it?
A lot.
Oh.
But a lot, but not concerning a lot. Generally, the car was sitting fine. Mm. But my short test drive, I couldn't take it out on the highway because KL's always jammed. Generally, the car's in an okay condition, actually. It's, you know, I'm going to describe it to you as it stood back then.
Okay.
It was titanium silver. It has the M Sport package, 39,600 kilometers after 9 years. Now it's standing at 43,000. Why does this car have such a low mileage? And he said the car was being used as a weekend car. It was left under a partial shade where the sun always hit the rear part of the car. So it faded the paint on the boot lid and it cracked the rear sun blinds.
Okay.
Which, you know.
Yeah, you can deal with that.
You can deal with that, right?
Yeah.
It had non-original Kellner's wheels. That, you know, Kellner's is spelled with an K-E-L. This one says K-A-L. Which is dodgy, and those wheels cracked recently, so I've got to go find new ones. The car was lowered. Every time I encountered a bump, it would rub against the fenders, and it would scrape
everywhere.
I'm
going to make Daniel sound. Yeah.
That, yes.
That could also be the offset for the Kellner's wheels.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because it's not the correct offset.
But I fixed that, you know, just changed the shocks and the whole suspension. They were knocking everywhere, so... That's a given when you get a used car.
Okay.
You should take care of all your suspension immediately. The cup holder was broken. If you're a BMW guy, you know that BMW cup holders last about 2 months. And then, like I said, the rear sunshade was broken. But the body, like I said, the body, engine and interior, it's like it's never been touched. Took the car for the first wash and I took a clay bar and tried to take all the dirt off and I could barely find anything because it was that pristine.
Right.
And I was quite shocked. Drove with my windows down and then suddenly the headliner sagged. Typical BMW stuff. And during that same trip, my BMW emblem flew off.
Okay, that's made my day then. All right.
Finally, you laughed.
Okay, right. Obviously, you've spent a lot of this money on this car already.
Yeah.
39,000 kilometers. That does seem a very, very low amount.
But it's... You do have cars out there with low mileage because there are enough people out there.
But it's just finding them, right?
Yes. You know, three cars in the house, four cars in the house, they will have low mileage cars. But a lot of them normally sell to friends and family.
Right, yeah.
So you're just lucky.
So this guy, he inherited this car about 3 years ago from his cousin who did all of these weird, put on these wheels and left it sitting in the garage. And he, after 2 or 3 years driving it, he decided, like, I can't take it. You know, the car's too low. I want a CRV. So he advertised it for about 70 lots of people came in calling, and all of them didn't bother buying the car. And then he advertised it for 63, and I was the first caller, and I just jumped at it. Yeah, I would say I'm pretty damn lucky for this.
All right.
Okay. So how much did you spend in the end, total?
So initial repairs in my first month, fixing all the suspension, all the headliner, and including buying a new BMW emblem that hasn't arrived.
Right.
And I think it's about $9,500 for initial repairs.
Okay. So
so 71.5
71,500
Yeah.
He's getting a good salary.
It's better than my salary, I can tell you that.
And how much do you expect to spend in the before the end of the year?
Bearing in mind the end of the year is like 2 weeks away.
Right.
$80
$80
So, for the emblem.
Yeah. So not too bad. If you think about it, you got a car for $70,000, you've got a BMW, you've got something that's not too old, everything works, and you can drive it whenever you want.
I think why I feel so happy with this car is that you look at the rest of the cars on the market that's being sold brand new right now, the Honda Civics, excellent cars, right? But they have almost exactly the same amount of amenities and features as this nine-year-old car. So I'm still wondering, why would you buy a new car? Did I just get super lucky?
No. You see, you must understand. A lot of people say, okay, you are lucky because you have the money to buy the second-hand car, pay, you know, your deposit and all that. Plus, you can afford the 9,000 ringgit in repairs in cash.
That was paid by me selling my old car.
So you have that advantage. Not a lot of people have that advantage straight off to have an extra $9,000 for repairs.
That's fair game.
And some of them don't even have reliable mechanics to go and do these repairs. So they are worried about getting cheated. Then you have the third option. A lot of people think, if I buy a second-hand car, how do I check the car to see if it's right? You say 34,000 miles driven. How do I know it's really 34,000? Why is it not wound back? We know how to check, but a lot of people out there don't know.
And I think for me, if I walked in and I saw the car looking the way it does and it's got 34,000 kilometers on the clock, that would be the first thing to me. I'd be like, ooh, it would make me back off. I'd be a little bit scared because I don't know these things, you know. Yes. So I think that would be my first suspicion, is like, there's something dodgy. Yes.
I think the bottom line is you really got to do your research.
Ah. Right.
You really have to know what the car you're looking for.
And not have a girlfriend.
And
you're very right,
Richard. I'm right, right?
And it's coming to Christmas and New Year. Hopefully the car will bring him the joy of a girl.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
But no, I mean, you know, look, I've seen it. It's a beautiful car. It really is. And I'm very jealous when I see you driving past in it.
You don't feel jealous when you see me driving my cars?
Well, I've only seen you drive past once.
Okay.
I still don't know what car you drive.
Exactly. And we'll keep it that way.
But clearly, you really like this thing, don't you?
Yes, I do. I mean, because last week I mentioned that I always watch the WTCC championships, the World Touring Cars. And in between 2003 and 2007 or 2008, the BMW 3 Series won every championship. Mm. So this is my dream car.
So final question then, Daniel. Did he get a bargain?
I wouldn't say he got a bargain because he still had to spend 9,000 ringgit on it. And it sounds like he's going to spend a few more thousand next year. Not a lot of money, but still a few more thousand. So again, you have to balance it. If he had bought maybe a Mazda 3, he would still have 9,000 ringgit in his pocket.
I mean,
but he won't have the excitement of the WTC and the emotional value and all that. So it's up to this. You see, when a person has a girlfriend, they spend their extra money entertaining that girlfriend, going out on dates, little holidays, prezzies, and all that.
Leave me alone, I'm young.
But when you're a lonely soul, extra money goes toward your metal girlfriend, is your car.
All right. On that note, ladies and gents, we have to wrap up. If you're only just joining us now, too late, the show is finished. But of course, we'll quickly run through the news.
The show has ended.
The show is finished. We started off with the news about the Toyota partnering with Grab. It comes as Toyota have invested $1 billion in Grab for their data. That was back in June. Perodua have got a new CEO. What's his name?
Datuk Zainal Abidin Ahmad.
Then we went through the cars of the year. We had the World Car of the Year 2018 listed, of course, with Daniel's additions on there. Then we had the new car launches. And, of course, we had the car review of a used 2009 BMW 325i E90.
Right.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. And don't forget,
it's two more days to Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for all of you celebrating. For those of you that aren't, have a good day.
Yes. And if you want to, go to Richard's house for lunch.
Shh. Don't forget Arif's single. Time for us to wrap up. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.